Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever found yourself stuck in a rut? Oh yeah, we've been there before. Stuck in a rut. Same old, same old. Maybe we're in a difficult place in our life where life is not going well. And we get discouraged, we get frustrated, and we start paging through the old photo albums of the glory days. Remember that photo of you with that competition or with that prize or that special moment, and you look longingly back on those glory days saying, boy, I wish that I was back in the good old days. We talk about the good old days and we reminisce even as we are sitting now in our situation that isn't going so well, and we feel discouraged and it can feel rather hopeless. We look around and we think, is this it? Is this life? Is this as good as it's going to get? And we can be upset about our current situation sometimes because we've caused our own problems, right? Amidst the stress and the mess, we've caused some of those things and we regret some of those things we've done in the past. Other times there are circumstances that come up that surprise us and we find ourselves in a difficult and discouraging situation. I wonder what the thoughts and emotions of the people of Israel were as they were in a difficult place in Babylon. The reading from our scripture today from the Old Testament is from Isaiah, and Isaiah is speaking to a people, and they are to be sent off to the land of Babylon because of their disobedience of the Lord. They are going to be exiled, and yet in the midst of all this, we have some words of hope that Isaiah gives from the Lord. And I want to talk about those words today from Isaiah chapter 43. So the people of Israel are going to be in exile. Now, I don't know if we can really relate too much with that. Maybe you've seen the movie, seen the play, Fiddler on the Roof. Some of you have seen that. You remember at near the end of the movie where Tevye, one of the main characters, has to move. He and his family have been basically kicked out of their town, and they are told to leave, and they only have a couple of days to pack up all that they can carry and head out to a different land. They have to leave the familiar sights, sounds, and smells of their village and go off to be somewhere else. And imagine for a moment, I know this is difficult, but that there was some foreign country that came in and said, all right, you've got 24 hours, pack up your stuff, pack up what you can, get out of here. And then all of a sudden you see these buses appear and we're loaded off into buses and we're carrying only what we can carry and you're trying to figure out what you can put in your backpack. And you see all the pictures on your wall. You see all the familiar knickknacks. You see the wonderful house that maybe you helped design or that was in your family for a couple years, couple generations. And you're waving goodbye to that house. You're waving goodbye to that familiar school that you went to or your kids went to. You're waving goodbye to those familiar places that hold very special memories, not knowing if you will ever see those places again. That's what happened to the people of Israel. They were there in the promised land, and due to their disobedience, they were then sent off into the land of Babylon, where they were there among all kinds of unfamiliar things. And then they were there for a total of about 70 years. 70 years. After a while, you get used to the new rut. And you wonder to yourself, will I ever see my homeland again? Will I ever be back in the promised land? This is the situation that God's people would find themselves in. And it seemed hopeless. And yet, in the middle of all this, the prophet Isaiah, sent by the Lord, gave them words of hope, even in the middle of that difficult, hopeless-seeming situation. And these are the words that I share with you today from Isaiah 43, verse 16 and following. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I gave water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. There is hope, people. You're in a difficult situation. You're in a rut. It's looking hopeless, but God has not forgotten you. He will not forget you. I love how it starts out. It says, I, the Lord. Notice in the scripture there, it's capitalized. L-O-R-D. Those letters are capitalized, and it's a reminder for us that that is the Hebrew word for Yahweh. I am Yahweh. This is the Lord who appeared to Moses in the burning bush, who sent Moses back to the land of Egypt to go rescue the people out of slavery, out of bondage. And notice how it describes the Lord. I am the Lord who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters. What is this talking about? Well, this is talking about when the people of Israel were brought through the Red Sea. Remember, they had made their way out of Egypt, and Pharaoh's army was quickly catching up with them, and they were freaking out, wondering what was going to happen, and God made a way. He literally parted the waters. The God of creation allowed Moses to put his staff, and all of a sudden, the water goes whoosh, and there's dry spots for them to go through. And maybe you've seen the movie The Ten Commandments with the old-fashioned, what we call it, CGI. I don't know if it was even CGI, but you see the water pile up on either side. But what a sight that must have been, a jaw-dropping sight, to all of a sudden see the water go whoosh and part. Water piled up as they're walking through with their jaw down to their toes, looking back and forth, making their way through. And then when the time came, when they had passed safely through the waters, all of a sudden, whoosh, what a sound, what a sight to see the water come back down upon the Egyptian army. Mighty Egyptian army tossed around in the water like a bunch of little toy soldiers. Pharaoh's army was destroyed, but God's people were rescued through the sea. And God continued to provide for them in their wilderness wanderings, remember? So I love how he's like, this is who I am. I am the one who parted the Red Sea. This is what I've done for you. But now, remember not the things of the past. He says, I am going to do a new thing. I'm going to do a new thing. But think about this. As you're a person in exile, you might be wondering how God is going to act. Is he going to act? What is he going to do? You would have heard the stories growing up about this amazing God who parted the Red Sea. And you say, well, yeah, I heard that story. I think it was probably true. I think God did that. But I'm sitting here in Babylon, miserable and a mess. Is that same God who parted the Red Seas, who did all that awesome stuff that I heard about, that I read about, is he going to act now? Is he going to do something now? There might have been those doubts and those questionings and those wonderings as the people were there in that difficult, hopeless-looking situation. But they receive word from the prophet of God, Isaiah, who says, he speaks on behalf of the Lord. He says, I, the Lord God, I'm going to do a new thing. A new thing. He talks about streams in the desert. He talks about life flowing through a difficult situation that looks dry and deserted. In the second half of the book of Isaiah, we see the promises of God that he gives. And eventually we know, as we look at history, that God's people were taken out of Babylon. They were rescued. It wasn't a hopeless situation. There was a second exodus, so to speak, as God brought them back out into the wonderful land, which he had promised them before. But one really cool thing about the book of Isaiah is it not only talks about the restoration of God's people in the immediate sense, it also talks about something that God's going to do on a much bigger scale. Because as you read sections of the book of Isaiah, some of which we read at Christmas time and also in other parts of the year, we hear about the Messiah. We hear about the one who is going to restore. We hear about the one who is going to bring something new. And as we see the scriptures play out, we see Jesus, the Messiah, who comes to bring something new. He comes to bring a new covenant. He comes to bring new life. We have the Lord Jesus. When he is there with his disciples, celebrating the Passover, and while he is there celebrating the Passover, he then brings forth words of the new covenant. They are remembering what God had done in the past, God's mighty deliverance out of the land of Egypt at the Passover. But Jesus then says, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Take, drink, this is the blood of the covenant given for you." This is something new that Jesus is doing. And what's amazing about this new thing that Jesus is doing by the shedding of his blood for the forgiveness of your sins is he's allowing not only God's people, the Jews, to have that restored relationship with the Lord, but also for you, all who trust in Jesus, having that restored relationship with the Lord. God is doing something new. Remember this, that in the middle of whatever situation that you are in, as you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, as you have been baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ, God is doing something new in you. God is doing something new in you. He brings the waters of life into the difficult situations that you are in. You see, you have been baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the waters of baptism, which are flowing through. As Jesus sent out his disciples, remember he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And like water spreading through a dry and arid land, it produces new life, new hope, where not only individuals are changed, but lives of whole families and communities are changed. Well, some of us in this congregation are in a musical that's finishing up. It's the last performance of the musical at 2:30, Acts, A City Rising. It's about the book of Acts. And I love hearing in the book of Acts, it talks about that there are households who are being baptized. Whole households are being changed. Broken lives being restored. And this is what God is doing. In the middle of seemingly hopeless and difficult situations, God is bringing forth new life. That is what he offers for you and for your family and for this community as well. Look on the front of your bulletin there and you see a butterfly. I like that image. New life. Baptized into Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. This is what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable," something to look forward to, "undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." God's given you hope and a future. You've got something to look forward to. I know for myself, I like to have something to look forward to, and when I don't, I can get discouraged. But knowing that we have something to look forward to, an inheritance, a heaven, home, something like we can't even quite imagine, that gives us hope, even when we're facing struggles of body, struggles of mind, and angst and pain of the soul. There is hope, there is a future because of your Savior, Jesus Christ. And God is right now at work in you. You may not always sense it. You may wonder, "Okay, God, are you really at work here?" But know this, that the word does not return void. God is at work in you. How many of you remember the little science experiments where you take the bean home, you take the little bean and you put the damp tissue paper on the bean, and then you watch it sprout? And if you're like a 7-year-old kid, you're looking at the bean, and you look at it 5 minutes later, did it grow yet? Then you look at it at 12 minutes later. I mean, your parents say, okay, just go play with your Legos, do something else. The bean will grow, don't worry, come back. And eventually you start seeing this sprout come forth as the bean is finally showing visible signs of growth. And then eventually, if you plant it in the ground, wow, it will produce. But if you try to measure the growth of the bean looking at it every 30 seconds, you're not going to see much. And you may be discouraged in your own life. But know this, that the word of the Lord does not return void. It will produce in you. And just be patient. God is at work in you, and he's going to put you in the place, the soil where he wants you to grow, and he will guide that growth for his praise and glory. And whatever type of growth happens, leave that in his hands. But just trust that your God is at work doing a new thing in you and in your life because you are his. You're his child and he loves you. And you know what's amazing about our God? Is he continues to give life and hope even in the difficult situations. We pray, Lord, deliver me from this, deliver me from that. And sometimes, yes, the Lord delivers, boom, right away. Other times he doesn't. You know that. You're in a situation right now where, Lord, help. And right now, it seems like not much is happening. But know this, that the Lord can bring hope and life even in the middle of the difficulties, even in the desert times. It talks about streams in the desert. Makes me think of a lady by the name of Letty Kalman. She wrote a devotional series called Streams in the Desert. Interesting title, Streams in the Desert. Letty Kalman was a missionary with her husband in Japan and China for a number of years. But she spent the last 6 years of her husband's life watching him slowly fade away and die. A very difficult time for her. For 6 years, she watched as her husband's health deteriorated. What did she do during this time? Well, what she did was she compiled Bible verses. She compiled poems. She found things that were encouraging to her, and she fed upon those things, and it gave her comfort. It sustained her through this desert time. What began to happen, however, is some of her friends found out that she had these poems, these Bible verses, these devotionals, and they began asking her for them. Can we have those? Can we look at those? And word kept spreading and spreading and spreading. And today, it's been, they did the calculation since 2006, but in 2006, there were about 6 million copies of these devotional resources that have been sold in 15 different languages. This is from a woman who was a missionary somewhere in Japan or China who watched her husband die for 6 years. And through that difficult desert time, the Lord continued to sustain her, continued to give her comfort. And through the comfort that he gave her, he also allowed other people to be comforted and sustained with 6 million copies of this resource in 15 different languages. That is the amazing way in which our God works, even in the difficulties. Ultimately, he would want us to be pointed back to him and trust in him. And as you go forward today, remember this, you're a new creation in Christ, given new hope, and whatever you go through, whatever difficulty you are going through, remember that there is a future because your Lord and Savior Jesus has died for you, forgiven you of all your sins. He has risen from the dead, and he is coming back. Christ is coming back, and when he comes back, then we look forward to a new heaven and a new earth. We can't quite comprehend that, but a new heaven and a new earth. As Revelation 21 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.